RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Jokowi said that power plant development to sustain economic development. The Indonesian government plan to cut subsidy on diesel oil will have no impact on the volume of diesel supplies. Denmark is eager to exchange agribusiness cooperation with Indonesia. Now the news in detail. The government is focusing on development of power plants to sustain economic growth. President Joko Widodo has toured a number of regions mainly to inspect progress in the construction of power generating projects. The president is on a two-day visit to Bali and West Nusa Tenggara after completing similar visits to a number of provinces in Sumatra and Sulawesi earlier this week. During the tour over the week, the president commissioned development and operation of 6 power projects of mobile power plant in Bangka Belitung, Medan Nias Riau, and Lampung. He said that the government has to address problems of shortage in power supply in a number of regions in the country. He added that power is vital for economic development, adding economic development could stall without electricity. He remarked that he has asked the contractor of the power project to finish it early before the Al-Quran reading contest to be held in Lombok toward the end of July. The Indonesian government's plan to cut its diesel oil subsidy will have no impact on the volume of diesel oil supplies, which currently amount to about 16 million kiloliters. However, Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said has not given any assurance about whether it will lead to lesser consumption of biodiesel being intensively promoted by the government. In the 2016 state budget, a provision of 1,000 rupiah per liter has been kept for diesel oil subsidy. The draft of 2016 revised state budget will have a subsidy figure based on the cut applied. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said the fixed diesel oil subsidy of 1,000 rupiah per liter will be reduced to 350 rupiah per liter in the revised state budget 2016. As a result of the cut, the fuel oil and liquefied petroleum gas subsidies in the budget will amount to 40.63 trillion rupiahs, down from 63.68 trillion rupiahs in the state budget. The Danish Agriculture and Food Council is eager to enhance agribusiness cooperation with Indonesia, particularly in the area of dairy products. As quoted from Antara, the council expressed the wish to cooperate with Indonesia during talks with Indonesian Ambassador to Denmark, Muhammad Ibnu Said, at the Indonesian Embassy in Copenhagen on Saturday. Ambassador Said stated that the two countries need to follow up on the Memorandum of Understanding signed by their government in April 2016 to enhance cooperation in the agribusiness sector. The Indonesian ambassador paid a visit to Arlas Lagelse Majeri Milk Processing Center, the largest cooperative-based company for dairy products in Denmark. The visit, arranged by the DFAC, is aimed at introducing major dairy products besides providing the public with latest information. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, KADIN, supports the government's move to conduct a massive market operations at a number of locations as a short-term solution to stabilize food prices in the market during the month of Ramadan until the 2016 Idul Fitri day. KADIN Vice Chairman for Food Processing Field Industry, Juan Permata Adu, on Saturday said that market operation could be an effective measure, but it is expected to be done sustainably throughout the year so as to minimize price fluctuations of cooking oil, beef, and chicken. Juan added that the government's move to conduct a massive market operations should be supported because the people have the rights to buy food at affordable prices. Minister of Education and Culture Anies Baswedan formally handed over the certificate of three genres of Balinese traditional dances from UNESCO to Governor Imade Mangke Pastika on Saturday in Denpasar. The certificate was handed in the opening of the 38th Bali Arts Festival 2016. In his speech, Minister Anies Baswedan said that the certificate shows that the Balinese dances have become one of Indonesia's cultural heritages that recognized by the world. According to him, the UNESCO recognition certificate is a witness of Balinese cultural journey.
Menyerahkan sebuah sertifikat dari UNESCO.
To hand over a certificate from UNESCO, the certificate provides authentic sign that there are 9 Balinese dances which have been officially declared as intangible cultural heritage objects, not only the cultural heritage of Indonesia, but the cultural heritage of the world, and is recognized worldwide. The certificate was given not only to the provincial government of Bali, it is the Balinese people cultural journey. The three genres of traditional Balinese dances that receive UNESCO's recognitions are Wali Datau or Sacred Dance, Bebali or Semi-Sacred, and Balih-Balihan or Performing Dance that meant for enjoyment by community at large. With the three traditional Balinese dance genres, Indonesia has had 7 cultural elements in the UNESCO list of intangible cultural heritage of humanity. The other 6 are Wayang 2008, Kris 2008, Batik 2009, Angklung 2010, Saman Dance 2011, and Noken Papua 2012, and a program of batik education and training in 2009. Last item. Minister of Education and Culture Anies Baswedan officially opened the 38th Bali Arts Festival 2016 on Saturday in Denpasar. In his speech on behalf of the President of the Republic of Indonesia, the minister said that Bali Arts Festival is a manifestation of the spirit of the Balinese people in art. He said that the spirit of Balinese art should be directed to restore the spirit of love for the country.
Izinkan saya menyampaikan selamat.
Let me say congratulations. Congratulations on celebrating the arts. Congratulations on feeling again the love of the homeland. And by the grace of God the Almighty, and on behalf of the President of Republic of Indonesia, I'm officially declaring the 38th Bali Art Festival officially opened.
Meanwhile, Bali Governor Made Mangku Pastika said in his report that the implementation of Bali Arts Festival theme Karang Awa or My Reef is directed as traditional Balinese arts preservation and development efforts. The 38th Bali Arts Festival is followed by more than 15,000 artists and 225 kinds of art from municipal districts in Bali. In addition, it also attended by participants from areas outside Bali and also abroad. Among others are from U.S., India, UK, Japan, Canada, France, Thailand, China, and Timor Leste. The 38th Bali Arts Festival will last for a month and will end on July the 9th. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo said power plan development to sustain economic development. The government plans to cut subsidy will not reduce diesel oil supply. Denmark is eager to enhance agribusiness cooperation with Indonesia. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from Indonesia, presenting a variety of interesting information from across the country in a week. The first news comes from Flores, East Nusa Tenggara. Geological Agency of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources and one of the leading universities in Australia found fossils of early humans, which was the first and oldest in the Soa Basin, Ngada Flores, East Nusa Tenggara province. Expert staff of the Investment and Production of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Yun Yunus Kusumah Brata, at a press conference in Bandung, said the fossil was estimated to be about 700,000 years. It is the oldest hominid fossils in the mainland of Flores and the first fossil found in the Soa Basin. It consists of parts of molars, front teeth, canine teeth, and jaw bones. He further said that in addition to the discovery of ancient human fossils, in the excavation at the Soa Basin, the team also found fossils of ancient animals such as the elephants, crocodiles, Komodo dragons, rats, frogs, and birds, and stone tools or artifacts. Yun Yunus says the ancient humans fossils findings will be published online in the Nature Journal, a scientific journal with an international reputation. The next news comes from the city of Pontianak, West Kalimantan. Pontianak Mayor Sutarmiji revealed that Pontianak in West Kalimantan province had entered fifth as an Islamic city of 29 cities in Indonesia studied by Ma'arif Institute. Sutarmiji explained the first rank is occupied by the city of Yogyakarta, followed by Bandung, Denpasar, and the fourth is Bengkulu. He said the election of the city of Pontianak is a positive thing considering Pontianak is a heterogeneous city. According to Sutarmiji, the concept of Islamic city is in the sense of increasing the community's desire to implement religious teachings, mainly for the Muslims. On the other hand, Muslims in Pontianak are very tolerant and respectful of other religions. The latest news comes from Yogyakarta. Badan Amil Zakat Nasional Yogyakarta Donation Collection updated its program, which was originally named One Day 1000, into program S2 or Sedino Sewu, which means the same thing but in Japanese language. The coordinating agency for Yogyakarta National Zakat Levy or Basnas, Riani Deni, on Monday said that the program collects donation from the public by distributing cans, which are then used like a piggy bank and filled with 1,000 rupiah per day. In addition to distributing the cans to the public, they can also be obtained by coming directly to Basnas Yogyakarta. Officers from Basnas then will log data of citizens and take the money collected on a regular basis. Since the first started in October 2015, Basnas Yogyakarta has been able to raise funds from the program of 3.5 million to 4 million rupiahs per month. Based on the calculation of Basnas Yogyakarta, potential donation from the community could reach about 1.5 billion rupiahs per month or about 18 billion rupiahs annually. Well, that was news from Archipelago or from Indonesia.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with June 12, 1898, the Philippine Declaration of Independence. General Emilio Aguinaldo declares the Philippines independence from Spain. The Philippine Declaration of Independence was proclaimed on June 12, 1898 with the public reading of the acts of the Declaration of Independence. Filipino Revolutionary Forces under General Emilio Aguinaldo proclaimed the sovereignty and independence of the Philippine Islands from the colonial rule of Spain. The declaration was never recognized by either the United States or Spain. Later, in 1898, Spain ceded the Philippines to the United States in the 1898 Treaty of Paris that ended the Spanish-American War. Following World War II, the U.S. granted independence to the Philippines on July 4, 1946 via the Treaty of Manila. July 4 was observed in the Philippines as Independence Day until August 4, 1964, when, upon the advice of historians and the urging of nationalists, President Diosdado Macapagal signed into law Republic Act No. 4166, designating June the 12th as the country's Independence Day. June the 12th had previously been observed as Flag Day, and many government buildings are urged to display the Philippine flag in their office. Next is June the 12th, 2002, the World Day Against Child Labor is set. The World Day Against Child Labor worldwide was first launched in 2002 with the aims of increasing awareness and efforts to prevent child labor. This warning was pushed through the ratification of ILO Convention No. 138 concerning the minimum age of workers and the ILO Convention No. 182 on the correct forms of child labor. Through this day, every June the 12th is expected to push for a worldwide movement to combat forms of child labor. According to ILO data, hundreds of millions of girls and boys around the world are involved in jobs that prevent them from receiving an adequate education, health, recreation, and freedom. These children, more than half the number, working in hazardous environments, slavery, forced labor, drug trafficking, prostitution, and involvement in armed conflicts. The last is from June 12, 2013. Jiromo Kimura, the oldest man in the world, dies. Jiromo Kimura, who was born on April 19, 1897, died at the age of 116 on June 12, 2013. The man from Japan is the oldest man to live the longest period in history and became the oldest person in history who have reached the age of 116 years. Kimura was also the last man born in the 19th century after the death of 113-year-old James Sisnet of Barbados on May 23, 2013. Kimura died of natural causes. In October 2012, Kimura received a certificate from Guinness World of Records with regards to the inclusion of Kimura's name in the latest edition of Guinness World Records in 2013. This is the second year in a row Kimura is recognized as the oldest man in the world. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Spotlight this week. The spotlight is on the government increases meat import quotas. The still high price of beef in the market has made the government increases import quota of frozen beef by 15,000 tons for state-owned enterprises and 23,000 tons for the private sector. Minister of State Own Enterprises Rini Sumarno, after a coordination meeting on food at the Office of Coordinating Ministry for the Economy in Jakarta on Thursday, said the ministry has been selling beef at a price of 80,000 rupiah per kilogram, but the market price is still high. Director of Logistic Agency Bulog, Jarod Kusumayakti, confirmed that until now only 2,050 tons of imported frozen meat, which already had entered Bulog, while the quota is 10,000 tons, in order to reduce the price of beef in the market. Since Idul Fitri Day is only 3 weeks away, Jarod believed that not more than 3,000 tons of frozen meat could be imported from Australia. Nevertheless, Jarod hoped this could reduce the price of beef in the market. Therefore, he asked traders in the market to help the government to lower the prices of beef. He revealed that 300 tons of meat imported from Australia had arrived in Jakarta on Thursday. The arrival of the meat was a realization of the government's efforts through Bulog to continue to press the main commodity prices, which are still high. Related to President Joko Widodo's request to set the price of beef during Ramadan and Idul Fitri in the range of 80,000 rupiah per kilogram, Executive Director of INDEF Eni Sri Hartati said it was only a temporary effect. According to her, meat prices would be stable in the long term if the situation is anticipated long before. Starting the beginning of the year by February at the latest, the data can be identified and then Indonesia imported feeder cattle. Thus, the price of beef could be stabilized. Well, that was Spotlight of this week. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. The Association of Fuel Station Owners, Hiswana Migas, has called on the state-owned energy firm Pertamina to engage third-party auditors to supervise gas stations and prevent fraud in the downstream oil business. As many as 40 immigrants from Sri Lanka have been stranded in Lok Nga in the district of Aceh Besar in the Sumatra province of Aceh after the engine of their boat broke down. The government is focusing on development of power plants to sustain economic growth. President Joko Widodo has toured a number of regions, mainly to inspect progress in the construction of power-generating projects. The Indonesian government's plan to cut its diesel oil subsidy will have no impact on the volume of diesel oil supplies, which currently amount to about 16 million kiloliters. The Danish Agriculture and Food Council is eager to enhance agribusiness cooperation with Indonesia, particularly in the area of dairy products. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, supports the government's move to conduct a massive market operation at a number of locations as a short-term solution to stabilize food prices in the market during the month of Ramadan until the Idul Fitri day. Minister of Education and Culture Anies Baswedan formally handed over the certificate of three genres of Balinese traditional dances from UNESCO to Governor Imade Mangkupastika. Minister of Education and Culture Anies Baswedan officially opened the 38th Bali Arts Festival 2016 on Saturday in Denpasar. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder. Today's edition will be introducing Gubregi Ceremony in Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta Special Region. So stay tuned and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through the shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. There is a unique tradition in Karanggede Hamlet Community, Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta, in welcoming the month of Ramadan called Gumbreki Traditional Ceremony. It is marked by eating the diamond-shaped rice cake called ketupat, along with feeding their livestock animals. This unique tradition is done as an act of people's gratitude for abundant agricultural produce and livestock. The tradition is held every year after harvest on Friday Kliwon in Ruah, the month prior to the arrival of Ramadan. The process of the unique tradition begins with a ceremony. Here, people are wearing traditional clothes and carrying a variety of traditional food paraded around the village with rejoicing. People would bring processed crops such as ketupat, porridge, and other traditional meals accompanied by the sound of gamelan music. The ceremony is usually performed in the morning in a somewhat roomy area in Karanggede. People would flock directly to the location that has been agreed upon. There are a number of residents who bring their livestock. After they gather, the ketupat are collected in the middle, then religious leaders will recite some prayers. After praying together, they eat the ketupat with side dishes including fried tempeh and plastawan. Ketupat symbolizes harmony so that the community and the government can get closer. Plastawan demonstrates strong unity and also maintain the simplicity that is by eating fried tempeh. Then residents will also feed their cattle. It is a symbol that other gods' creation also entitled to share in the good harvest. They hope those cattle get fed as denoted by solid shape of the ketupat. With preservation of Gumbregi traditional ceremony, the villagers hope their village, which is the center of Etawa cattle breeding, can develop and be protected from harm. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is our Reward Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, and even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing Kars Mangkulihat Sangkurilang be submitted to UNESCO. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Indonesia has many natural resources, one of which is Kars Mangkulihat Sangkurilang in East Kutai, East Kalimantan. Local authorities encourage Kars to become one of the nominees in Natural and Cultural World Heritage that will be established by UNESCO. Kars is a form of the Earth's surface that is generally characterized by the close depression. The area is formed mainly by the dissolution of limestone rocks. Kars typically has characteristic, among others, the area is in the form of hollows, small hills, there are rivers that appear on the surface, lost and disconnected into the soil and rivers below the soil surface. The phenomenon of the Kars area is unique, found in the Earth's surface. In geomorphological, Kars area is predominantly rocky carbonate that is easily damaged. The base rock is soluble, therefore it is easy to form underground caverns of cracks and crevices. East Kalimantan Governor Awang Ishak Farouk recently said that the establishment of this cultural heritage aims to attract tourists to visit the Sangkurilang. He is very proud because of the cultural heritage of Kars Mangkulihat Sangkurilang will be known in the world community. To speed up the UNESCO's decision, Awang Farouk said he will soon form a working committee which comes from various backgrounds, such as members of the government and environmental agencies. And the result will be submitted to the Ministry of Education and Cultural of the Republic of Indonesia. East Kalimantan Provincial Government has issued a Governor Regulation No. 67 of 2012 on the protection and management of Kars Sangkurilang Mangkulihat ecosystem. The regulation set policies for the protection and management of Kars ecosystem and the development of regional management model that accommodates the local wisdom of local communities. With the regulation, it is expected to provide protection to the region defined as the Kars landscape. The region serves as a protected area geology and regional indicative distribution of limestone that can be utilized after fulfilling the prescribed criteria. Eckhart mengkulihat Sang Kulirang is indeed still beautiful and unspoiled, so it is likely to be one of the main national and even international geotourism. Geographically, it looks like limestone mountains covered with green jungle. This area has lots of past human traces that found in the walls of the cave, either in the form of a human hand mural and symbols such as circles and arrows. Of all the relics found in the Kars Mangkulihat, it turns out that about 3,500 years ago, a prehistoric community has existed and lived in caves. In addition to paintings on the walls of the cave, there was also found supplies of human life. This is the end of Miscellany for today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye!
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Amir Manzur in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Amir Manzur. Thank you for your email dated February 13, 2016. We also would like to thank you for your appreciation and attention on the World Radio Day. We hope that you are one of our regular listeners who are always tuned in our radio every day. So please send your reception report of our broadcast. Therefore, we know how you can listen to our broadcast. And as information, if you want to send your reception report, please send to voi.english@gmail.com. voi.english@gmail.com. Well, Mr. Amir Manzur, we are looking forward to receiving your next email. Thank you. And before we read another email, we'll play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song. Listener, now we will reply an email from Edi Prabowo in Tanjung Duren, Jakarta. Wow, it's so close from our office. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. In your email, you said that you have become a shortwave listener since 1984. It's quite a long time. Can you tell us what your favorite segment of our English program is? Have you ever come to our office? Please send your reception report in detail. And as information, if you want to send your reception report, please send it to voi.english@gmail.com. Thank you. Well, Mr. Edi Prabowo, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report. Okay, listener, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Sejuta cinta, satu puji ku ucapkan, kau balas kasih tiada tara. Walau tak bisa ku jama, di timur barat ada wajah. Hadirmu bisa ku rasa. Tolong, tolong, jangan kau tinggalkan aku. Tolong, tolong, di setiap hela nafasku. Tolong, tolong, jangan kau jauh dari.
berjamaah. Di timur barat ada wajahmu, walau tak bisa ku pandang, namun hadirmu bisa ku rasa. Tolong, tolong, jangan kau jauh.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply a comment from Patrick Kuckelbergs in Belgium. Hello, Mr. Patrick. How are you? We are really sorry because you haven't received our QSL card yet until now. We do not know because the QSL is not back to our office, whereas we have sent the QSL card with your recent address. But please don't worry because we will send it again. Hopefully, this time our QSL card will be delivered to you. Thank you. Well, Mr. Patrick, keep listening to our broadcast and we are waiting for your next email and certainly with your reception report. Listener, we will play a beautiful song special for you. Let's take it out.
Koda dunia kadang ku lupa, seakan hidup tuk selamanya. Dunia bagai fata morgana, terlena diri dustakan mata. Astaghfirullah robbal baroya, astaghfirullah minal khotoya. Segala noda
Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. Well, listener, we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Aniasana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Kasihi aku, miliki aku, cintai aku karena Allah, sayangi aku karena Allah, kasihi aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Bukan langit, bukan bumi, bukan I'm not afraid to die.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.